Chapter 12. We have 3 points. A preacher never wants to be accused of having a pointless sermon. So we have three points. And I trust this morning that the message will be as important to you to hear and to apply as it is to me to hear and to apply. I want to get right to the core of what it means to be a Christian and live the Christian life. That's what this chapter is all about. If we could just put into practice what the Apostle Paul lays out for us here in verses 1 through 21, in the coming year or even beginning today, our lives would be that much more well-pleasing to God. And that's the, isn't that really the ambition of our life? We want to live a life that's well-pleasing to God. I mean, really makes no matter what someone else might think or of what their assessment might be of us. What really matters is whether God is pleased with our lives. And I found in this wonderful chapter written by none other than the Apostle Paul that he gives us really a summation of what the Christian life is all about. If we miss any one of these points, then we're going to be lacking. So let's just break it down. What do we need? What do we need to know to please God with our lives? I don't know that we think about that very often. We just kind of get on the treadmill. Right? The holy treadmill, we would call it, and we tread, and that's fine if your life is truly pleasing to God. So, we'll just ask this question. The first, and it's what we need to know first, before we can even begin to live a life pleasing to God, you gotta recognize what you have been given. So you, as a person, have been given certain things. And none of these things could you manifest on your own. In other words, it truly is a gift. So what have you been given? Well, James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this. It says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. And in Him there's no variation, no shadow of turning. Every perfect gift comes from above. What we're asking to begin with, to start our time today, is what have you been given? What have I been given? What have you been given? Because until we recognize that, we can't be thankful for it. And until we recognize that, we really cannot go on in the grace and knowledge of Jesus growing in Him. So we've got 7 things. This is point 1. I know it's a full chapter, but we're going to go through this expeditiously. With your help and your fast listening, we'll make it. So the Bible says not only does every good and perfect gift come down from above, but the Bible also says, in fact, Jesus' own words were, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. So what have we been given by God? Right here in verse 1, the Bible says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Okay, so I want to start off with this today. If anyone disagrees with me on this one, just don't say anything, because I'm not even going to talk about it. You've been given a body. Okay, you have a body, right? Got a body. Now, we're not going to talk about what you think of your body, all right? We're not going to even talk or come close to talking about the age of your body or anything else. But we are going to recognize that the fact that we have a body is to recognize that God has blessed us with a life, right? So we have a body. You have a body. You had really nothing to do with being here, right? God, in His great wisdom and power, orchestrated you being here. You're here by His providence. And that's a fact. And we should recognize that every day of our lives. That we don't know how close we were to not being here. But you're here. And that is by God's hand. It's not random chance, right? It's by God's hand. His direct action. And by that, you are here. So you should thank God for your body. We've got to move on. There's seven of these. Secondly, you have a soul. You have a soul. You have breath in your body. You have a personality, right? You got light in your eyes today. Some of you, well, yeah. You got to open them, right? I'm just trying to see if you're there. You are there. You have a soul. You have a soul. And that's so precious, you know, to have the breath of life in you. Recognize that as a gift of God. Here it is in verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so there's something going on in this body you've been given. You have a soul. Thirdly, and this is really implied or inferred in this scripture, you have a book. You have a book. You have this Bible. We're reading out of the Bible. The information that we value as relevant to our lives, as truth for our lives, it comes from the Bible. And we have been blessed with a Bible. We have both testaments of the Bible. We have all 20 chapters of John's Gospel. That's what we have. We have the whole letter of Romans. We have the great prophecies of the Bible. We've got all this Bible. We have this book, this truth, and this truth comes to us by God. It was by God's hand. It's by His orchestration that we have this book. You know, not everybody on the planet has the opportunity to access this book. There are people meeting on the Lord's Day in faraway places that don't have a full copy of the Gospel of John. That barely have a Bible. They have a part or a piece. There are some people who have no Bible in their language and no access to that Bible. Now I wonder, why is it that you have access not only to one Bible, not only to one translation of the Bible, but to many Bibles and to many translations? Well, it's because God has allowed that. God has directed that. God has caused that to happen. And because of that, we are most blessed people to have the Word of God. That's why we really advocate reading the Bible through. And if you're not going to read the Bible through, at least picking that Bible up every day and reading it. Because the Bible is not like any other book. The Bible is not like People magazine. The Bible is not like the newspaper. The Bible is not like your favorite website. The Bible is God's Word. It's from Him, through His prophets and apostles to us. It's His love letter to us. It's the instruction manual for life. And we should cherish this Bible enough to read the Bible and to study the Bible and to hear the Bible proclaimed. So we have a body, we have a soul, we have the book. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We love our Bibles. We don't worship the Bible, we worship the God of the Bible, but we recognize that the truth is from God and the truth is contained in the Bible. Fourthly, and this is a little overwhelming, and I don't even know how we got it into one point, but we have the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Out of Romans 8, verses 1 through 3, we have a reference to all three members of the Trinity. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. We have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. And we have knowledge of the Trinity, and we have the knowledge of God the Father caring for us. We have the knowledge of the Son of God dying for us and rising for us. And we have the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is indwelling the lives of those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So we have the Holy Trinity. Paul even asks later on in his book from Romans 8, that same chapter, later on in that chapter, he says, if God be for us, who could be against us? Or what could be against us? We have God overseeing and directing, superintending our lives. This is a great gift, the Holy Trinity. Fifthly, we have salvation for those who have believed, for those who have trusted Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross, for forgiveness of sin, you have been given this great gift we call salvation. We have a Savior, His name is Jesus, and through Him we have salvation. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sixthly, and by the way, none of these is anything anyone could have stirred up in the kitchen or made out in the workshop. All these are gifts that come from God, and they're given to us. And this is where the Christian life begins. Sixthly, we have gifts. Romans 12, verse 6. Back to Romans 12. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So it honors God when we serve Him. When we use the gift He's given us through serving Him, it honors God. That's what I'm trying to say. The gift of God. What He's given us. How He uses us. How He makes us useful to Him through these gifts. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Some of you are sitting there and you go, well, I'm a believer in Jesus, but I really don't know what my gift is. Well, here's where you start. You start by serving God. And in the process of that, you will find out what your gift is. How many of you have ever had a hunting dog? You'll never know what the gift of that hunting dog is if you keep him in the cage. You got to let him. You got to let him out. You got to let him hunt. You'll see what he can do. That's the only way you do it. And Christian, that's the only way you'll ever find out what your gift is. And that is to turn your eyes away from yourself, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and allow Him to use you as you serve. And you will find out what that gift is or what those gifts are that God has blessed you with. with. And then seventhly and lastly, he's given us a local group of believers. The church. The church is a gift that God gives us. And through these gifts, God administrates grace to his people. That's the point. Through these gifts, God lets his grace abound to your life and to my life. And we give him praise for this. You say, well, Brother Bill, you've just said mentioned seven gifts here. There are more. I can count more. I could fill up a legal pad with more gifts. Well, help yourself. You do that, and I'm really happy for you, but we're going to stop at seven. You don't want to encourage me to go on to eight, do you? Let's go on. Point number two. So we ask ourselves, what have I been given? And you think about that, and you ponder those things. What have I been given? And then we just let gratitude well up in our hearts toward God, and we thank God for all that we've been given. He's given us so much. And everything that we need for spiritual growth, everything we need to be of help and service to others, has been given to us by God. Isn't that precious? Secondly, what is my obligation with what I have been given? What is my first obligation? Recognizing all these gifts, what am I obligated to do? What do I do with that? I have all these gifts. I've been blessed abundantly. All of these things have come from God's hand, and without God's hand and without his grace, without his mercy, I would be nowhere. I might not even be here. So what do I do with what I've been given? What do I do with what I've got? Well, our first obligation is to look toward God. Our first obligation is not to figure out how we can expend these gifts on ourselves, but our first obligation is to look toward God. Each one of us, every one of us in this room, is accountable to God for what we've been given. That's why we don't want to waste our life. We don't want to ruin our bodies. We don't want to torture our own souls. We want to honor his word and read it. We want to magnify the Holy Trinity and recognize the work of God in our lives. We want to thank him especially for salvation through Jesus, the gifts that he's given us, and the church. We want to thank him for that, and we want to look toward God. We are all accountable to God for what we have. So, this is the way that looks. And this is an important step in the growth process of a believer. Here it is in verse 1. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Here we go. Present that body of yours, a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Paul's just saying there, this is where worship starts. Worship does not start in the hymn book, and it does not start with the words on the wall, and it does not start with an instrument playing. Worship starts in your heart toward God. It's you and him. And it begins when you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And you do this as often as you should do it. Do it daily. Do it before you get out of bed in the morning, but make sure after you do it, you get out of bed. Amen? Because we're presenting our bodies to him for service. And Paul says this is reasonable. You know, too many people are trying to shortchange God. We've got all these gifts over here, right? All these gifts. We couldn't be blessed more than we're blessed. And then we're trying to figure out how to get by spiritually. how to get by doing as little as we can do spiritually. When God says, hey, it doesn't start with what you're doing. It starts with presenting your body, your life, your existence, the entirety thereof to God. And that's what he says right here. You present yourself a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That is acceptable to God. Amen. And that is reasonable. That is your spiritual service of worship in light of all that you have from God. In light of all that you've been given, it makes sense to present your body, your life, your entire existence to Him. That's the first thing. Our first obligation is to Him. Secondly, don't be conformed to the world. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. And I would say if you're not presenting your body to Him and your life to Him, you are being conformed to the world. See, we want to think everything's kind of stagnant, status quo in our lives, and it's never status quo for the Christian. I'm going to tell you, friend, you're either growing in God, you're intentional about it, or you're not. And I not only say that because the Bible speaks of that, I say that in 30 years of ministry, that there is no status quo. You're either growing in God, you are growing closer to Him, you are loving Him more, or you are not. We cannot neglect the means of grace, those seven things, those seven gifts, the means of grace, and expect to grow. Thirdly, our obligation with what we've been given, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How's that going to happen? As we're in the book, as we fellowship with other believers and have spiritual conversations with one another, that's how it happens. That's why it's so important to have spiritual conversations with one another. Where are you spiritually? Have you been in the Word? What are you reading in the Word? Just to find, because we grow that way. That's important. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then, fourthly, our obligation is to, what? Exercise your gift. You've been given a gift, exercise that gift. Honor God by exercising your gift. Serve God in your gift. That's where it starts. Find a way to serve. Find a way to help someone else. Look past yourself and look toward someone else. And then thirdly, we're really endeavoring to go quickly here, but there's like under point three, I've got 24 points. Oh, Brother Bill. We're just going to hit them, right? Like the firing of a machine gun, you know, really quick, rat-tat-tat-tat, okay? But we exercise our gifts. So you got that, right? The outline there, you've got, we have to recognize what we've been given. And then what do we do with what we've been given? Well, I understand like a lot of the kids receive gifts on Christmas Day, right? What do they do with what they've been given? Well, they start playing, right? You have to remind them sometimes, say thank you, right? And we're no different, right? With God, we have to be reminded, thank you, God. Look what you have given me. Look at the precious people of God that you've surrounded me with. Look at my family. I couldn't be more blessed. God, I have a Bible. Some of you got a new one for Christmas. That is awesome. Read that thing. Read it. Wherever those pages are kind of sticking together, read that, right? Just read it up. So what then, point number three, what then is our obligation in this world toward others? What's that look like? He tells us. That's the whole last part of the chapter. What's it look like when you and I are thankful for what we've been given, we recognize it, we're thankful for it, we present our bodies to God as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to Him, we're in His Word, we're being renewed, we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. What does that look like? How does that manifest on this earth? Because we're still on this planet. I need not remind any of you that we ain't in heaven yet. This ain't heaven. So what does it look like when we live among others? Whether they be Christians, whether they be dear brothers and sisters in Christ, or whether they're not. How do we live? Here it is. So, point three, what then is our obligation in this world toward others? How should we then live? Francis Schaeffer said it that way. Number one, love without hypocrisy. What's that mean? That means when you love, you're all in. You love everybody and you love them, you're all in. Have you ever heard the saying, fake it till you make it? That wasn't written in the Bible. There's too much fake in this world anyway. We want to love without hypocrisy. That means we love unconditionally. We want the best for each person we meet, everybody in our family and beyond our family, and into our extended family and our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates. We want the best for them spiritually. We want to see them in heaven. And that's at the bottom of our heart. So we love without hypocrisy. And that's not a sappy, syrupy love. That is a love that makes sense. You want the best for that person. That doesn't mean you give them everything they want. Number two, abhor what is evil. As a believer in Jesus, you know what the Bible advocates in the New Testament? You know what it doesn't advocate? There are things that are evil. There are unspeakable evils perpetrated in our society. They're so unspeakable, I'm not going to speak of them. You say, thank you, Brother Bill. But you need to abhor what is evil. And sometimes there are those of us that like to come too close. We don't abhor it. We might flirt with it. We might be complacent toward it. Paul says abhor it. That's a strong word. Abhor what is evil. Number three, cling to what is good. Romans 12:9, and that's the third part of the verse. Cling to what is good. Is this good? Cling to it. Whatever's good, cling to it. Number four, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That means we dare to discuss things openly and honestly with one another because we care about one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Romans 12:10a. Number five, give preference to one another in honor. Give preference to one another in honor. In other words, I'm going to say this very gently, it's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about what you want, and it's not about what I want. He says, give preference to one another in honor. Romans 12:10b. Number six, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. What does that mean? That means Paul expected that every believer would serve the Lord. You find a place of service and you serve Him. And you do that with all your heart. You serve the Lord. Number seven, rejoicing in hope. Hey, a believer in Jesus never says die. Never says die. Why? Because we believe in resurrection. And He has the last word. No man has the last word on another brother or sister or on God's church. God has the last word. Therefore, we never say die. We believe and we keep on believing. We persevere and we keep on persevering. That's the heart of a believer. It's not woe is me. It's not woe is the church. It's not woe is God. It's, aren't we glad we're here today? And what an opportunity with all God's given us to present our bodies, to present our church body to God as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to Him, and then expect God to bless that beyond what we could ask or think. And there's one amen, or two, or three. I think there were many more. They were just inaudible. Amen? Amen. There we go. Look at this. He says, persevering in tribulation. That means through hard times. You persevere. Number nine, that's Romans 12, 12b. Number nine, devoted to prayer. The person presenting him, his body, his life before God will be devoted to prayer. Romans 12, 12c. Number 10, contributing to the needs of the saints. I want to say a word about that. When we have a need in this body, as far as I can think back, this church body takes care of its own. We've done that. It's never in the bulletin, right? Doesn't need to be. It's not the way that works. But things happen that you and I never see. But you need to know it happens. When somebody has a need, we try as best we can to take care of that need when it's of our own church body. Practicing hospitality. That's important. That's an important service to the Lord of a brother or sister in Christ, to practice hospitality. Number 12, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So now he's getting out of the realm of the church and brothers and sisters, and now those that might be in opposition to the church, in opposition to your Christian life. What's he say? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Number 13, rejoice with those who rejoice. Don't you just love doing that? Don't you love rejoicing with those who are rejoicing? You know, when there's a birthday in your family, you know, to rejoice with that person. Or when a new baby comes along in the church body and you can rejoice with that. And we're going to have a couple opportunities to do that pretty soon. Amen? We love rejoicing, right, in that. It also says, weep with those who weep. And we've had opportunity as a church body to do that with those who are grieving over the loss of a loved one. Grieving over an untimely death. We weep with those who weep. That's one thing I appreciate about this church body is that we're sensitive to those times of rejoicing and we're sensitive to those times of weeping. And we can do them both on successive days, or we can do them on the same day. But we rejoice and we weep. Number 15, be of the same mind toward one another. Romans 12, verse 16a. Number 16, do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Romans 12, 16b. Do not be haughty in mind. Do not be proud, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Number 17, do not be wise in your own estimation. Romans 12, 16c. Now this is interesting because we often estimate ourselves and we always, generally, we like to give ourselves just a little better grade, right? I mean, I always thought I deserved a better grade on my tests or my exams than my teacher gave me, right? But don't think too highly, right? Let's bring it down. Let's be honest with ourselves about who we are, how God's gifted us, and what we can do. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Number 18 is important. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Romans 12, 17a. Never, never means never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Number 19, respect what is right in the sight of all men. A Christian is about what is right. There's a couple stories that are flooding my mind right now, and I'd like to go there, but I'm not going to because we're on number 19. Romans 12, 17b, respect what is right in the sight of all men. Number 20, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace with all men. As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You don't have to think like they think. You don't have to agree with them. But as much as it depends on us, we need to be at peace with them. Without compromise. Romans 12:18. Number 21, never take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. That's an interesting concept. I wonder how many times believers get in the way of God's wrath. Never take your own revenge. This is Romans 12:19. Number 22, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. What? That's not what we're taught in our culture, but that's what God's Word says. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. Romans 12, 20a. Number 23, if your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. Romans 12, 20b. Number 24, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what the life of faith looks like. That's the attitude that we live by. That's the expression that our lives have on others in the church, brothers and sisters in the same spiritual family, or with those beyond the church. So I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage myself in the upcoming year, the upcoming decade, to grow, to do these things, to recognize those gifts, to worship God by the giving of your life. We sang about it a while ago. I surrender all. That's what that means. And then follow those guidelines. The 24 I counted. The first time I counted 32. Got back to 24. So those aren't hard and fast, but I think that's pretty close to what Paul's giving us there. 24 things to remember as we're living our lives. Now, here's what we've got. We've got a little bit of time for prayer. So, I don't know how you think about this, but this is the way I think about it. A lot of times we have a closing song, and we don't really have, there's not really a lot of prayer time, really. We're singing a song, right? We're getting ready to leave. Today we're singing a song, we're getting ready for a business meeting. Here's the invitation. I would just invite any of you or families that are, maybe you're looking at some significant transition going into 2020, or maybe you're kind of like me, there's not a lot evident, but you know that 2020 is going to be full of challenges. It's going to be full of opportunity. And you'd like prayer for the coming year, during the song that we're going to sing, if you'd like to come forward, and we'll just pray a quick prayer for you and your family, your loved ones going into this new year. We'd like to do that, and we'd like to give enough time to get that done. So if our sing team would come and sing, and if you would stand with me, if you have anything you'd like for us to share in prayer, you're welcome to come forward at this time.
If you all want to turn to 555, I love you, Lord.